Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another show of At Home with Victoria, with your host, Victoria Gaither, and co-host, Michael Kay.
Good evening, everybody. It's 8 o'clock on Wednesday night here on the East Coast. Thank you for choosing another edition of At Home with Victoria to listen to. I'm Michael Kay, your entertainment co-host for tonight. Our lovely news lady is away. She's under the weather. I think she was just overdoing it, trying to revamp her lawn. So she'll be back with us tomorrow night. This evening, I'm so thrilled to bring a bunch of fantastic, fabulous, smart, and witty friends to meet you. We're going to start off with Canadian travel writer and blogger Angela Dillon. Not really much of a blogger myself, but I have to be honest, her stuff is really in touch with what's going on, I think, in everyone's lives, and she has a deliverable humor that I find quite delicious, so she'll be joining us. And then we have Aussie heartthrob Michael Tay. I met him in New York, actually. He was starring in Breaking Point web series at the Indie Soap Awards, and charming fellow, really fun to hang out with. He's here with a couple movies and a couple, actually, sound clips from them, so I'm excited to introduce you to him. And all through the hour, we're listening to the jazz stylings, the menthol cool jazz stylings of Mr. Hal Stevens, Guide of Tennessee, who is stunning. I'm just happy we have another Buble in the house. So we're going to open up with a little bit of tunage from Hal Stevens, and then we're back with Angela Dillon from Canada. This is Hal Stevens. Get a room. Don't go anywhere.
I can almost hear your two hearts pounding. I can almost feel your passion's heat. All her breathless yeses are resounding. Now may I suggest you take one last request. Get a room, get a spot where you can show her everything you got. Have you any shame at all? Take a wear, size like hers will likely not upset the customers. Get an uncluttered closet, get a stall. There are those of us who'd never be so bold. We'd be glad if we hatched a handhold. You're in love, oh how sweet. So you want to sweep up her feet? Get a broom, get away now. Get a room. Could just turn away and I'd be fine. Show some mercy on this lonely heart of mine. Be a pal, show you care. If you ever do come up for air, we have no more to say now.
Hal Stevens with Get a Room. You can find him at halstevensjazz.com. And now in the room is the lovely and charming Angela B. Dillon, calling all the way from Calgary, Alberta. Angela, welcome to At Home with Victoria. It's your first time here.
It is my first time here. Lovely to be here. Thank you.
Well, fantastic. Loving your new blog, by the way, called Tub Talks. You can go ahead and find it on blog, or I'm sorry, what's the call?
Blogger. You can find it on Blogger.
Oh, Blogger, too. Okay, yeah. Also on tubtalks.blogspot.ca if you wanted to go ahead and read it. But
right.
Your new ones have great. But you've been a travel writer for quite some time. Let's go back to some of your past. I read you were Ontario-born into a Roman Catholic family. My apologies. But
I'm a recovering Catholic. Thank you. Yes.
Absolutely, I am too. Actually, I'm Ukrainian Greek Orthodox, and I call that Catholic.
Ooh, you might win. You might
with extra guilt. It is. It's horrible. Fine, you'll be happy when I'm dead. My mother used to always tell me. But, however, from Ontario to schooled in BC, and now living in Alberta. How did you get to where you are now?
Well, I left Windsor, Ontario, and went straight across the country out to Vancouver, and I went to school there for a little while. I've done a number of things, mostly in writing and a little bit in counseling and education. So loved Vancouver, moved to Calgary for a boy. That's what I did.
Oh, there we go.
I know.
There's always a boy in the picture.
That's right.
And that boy gave you two children, correct? Two or three? How many did
you have? That's right.
Too.
Yeah, I have a nearly 14-year-old girl and a 9-year-old boy.
Do they have your sense of wit and everything?
They really do. I don't know. My son especially. He's actually got his own tiny little blog going. I'm teaching him how to do it. And he's having a lot of fun, the two of us together. Yeah.
Fantastic. Travel writing, did you cover that just throughout Canada, or did you actually travel into Europe?
I've been to Europe. I love travel writing. It's actually a great gig. And so my first job was actually a hotel review in Florence, and that's where my love affair with travel writing began. And it was for an online magazine that was running through Canada and worldwide, and it was a wonderful, wonderful job, and I got hooked from there.
Yeah, that was Avenue magazine, right?
Avenue, actually, I've run different things with Avenue, but this was for a person who the lovely and wonderful Daryl introduced me to, and she had a website going at the time called Ask Nancy. So I wrote for her, and I went over to Italy, and I reviewed the Hotel Tornabuoni, which is a fabulous, fabulous place in Florence. I would highly recommend it. And so it got me thinking about, you know, how I could make this more of a career for myself as a single mom with two little ones.
Right.
So travel writing has become just a wonderful way to do that, either take the kids or go on my own. Either one.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be great for someone like Condé Nast to pick you up. You can grab the kids and teach them everything, homeschool them out of the back of your van, and
you know what? You're not far away from the truth. Actually, my daughter, I switched her to an online school, and my background is in education, so that's the way of the future for sure. So I'm definitely thinking that's something that I'd like to do with both the kids in the future. Yeah.
Well, you're young enough to go ahead and start doing that at a feverish pace, and I know. I mean, I really do appreciate your writing, Angela. I've been trying to work on my book now. This is the third year; it's still in first stage edits. I understand what it takes to put together a book, especially one that you would want to read yourself versus someone that's just basically ego based. But your first blog, which is not Tub Talks, didn't you do something where you did it for an entire year?
I did it for a year. I was going through a really hard time. I was going through a separation and the beginnings of divorce. And I picked up this book called Something More. And it really is about, she calls it about like excavating. So it's really getting down deep into the things that are important for you. And by finding that something more, it's that something that's missing that I think a lot of people go through. And I loved the book, and I thought to myself, well, I wonder if I really applied this theory for a year, what would come out of it? And basically, for a person like me, believe it or not, an introverted, bookish kind of person, it really pushed me to say yes to things that I normally would not have said yes to. And because that started, I actually met you, actually.
True.
To tell
Absolutely.
You the truth. That's true. So I met wonderful people. I traveled. I wrote about it. And I learned a lot about myself that year.
Yeah.
That blog was called Something More 365. And I think it's still up and running. I still get hits on that one.
Okay, good. Because that's when I kind of fell in love with you, because you could see the manicness. I don't want to use the word breakdown, but the manic realization of truth. You know what I mean? You're going through a divorce,
right.
Separation. You've got two kids.
Yeah.
Where am I going to get the cash? You know, all that shit. Where you absolutely start to scream inside your head, because it just becomes overwhelming when you start to think of the entire picture.
Right. For me, that year was what I would call it. I would call it like a mudslide year. It's not necessarily something you want, and you certainly can't stop it.
Right.
And to try and stop what's going on in a year of transition is foolish, because there's just no way around that. So what do you do? Well, you sit in it and you welcome and you make friends with whatever is happening at the time instead of fighting it. And so that year, yes, I think really the blog went a long way to help me get myself together, get my thoughts and feelings sorted as much as I could, and connect with people. And it's the connections that really taught me that no matter what is happening in your life, no matter how bad it is, and it can get pretty bad, if you remain open and you try and shoot for being authentic, people come into your life as they should and at the right time. And so that whole year was a real experiment in that, and I wouldn't have changed a thing. It was wonderful year.
Yeah, that's the kicker, is when you get past it, you look back and you think, I couldn't have become the person I am had I not swam
right.
through the pile of shit, you know, kind of a thing. So it really frustrates me that I have to, at this age, believe in the fact that everything happens for a reason. The way you are today is exactly the perfect person you should be. And that I think a lot of people tend to go ahead and forget. They get mired up in falsities and things that take their attention away from being aware. And I think there's, I went grocery shopping today, and just the number of people who aren't aware, you can see it in their face. You can see how they just have flagrant disregard for anybody else but themselves. And, again, not anybody has the courage to go ahead and take the time you do to reflect. But, let's go ahead and give a shout-out to Mr. Daryl Henderson. He's the one who we met through.
Yes, we did. We met through Daryl, and he's one of those people I will totally give a shout-out to. He's just been so important to me over the years, and he's seen me, you know, huge and pregnant, and post-pregnant and huge, and big-haired, little-haired, you know, the whole thing. And we became good friends when I started to really change. He could see that coming down the chute. And, of course, you sit in your hairdresser's chair, and you spill, and you know, you talk. And sometimes those relationships change. And with Daryl, we certainly changed from sort of client and whatever to becoming really deep thinking and sharing friends. And honestly, for that year when I was blogging and he was being really supportive, he would drive by in his pickup truck and we'd go out on drives and we'd do this and that and the other thing. And really, he's become an extremely important friend to me. Just wonderful. He's a wonderful and giving person.
Yeah, and may I just say, from a hairdresser's standpoint, I have gotten to be friends with several one of my clients, and to each client I'm a friend to a certain level, but to get really on the grassroots level that you're talking about, for a hairdresser to let you in, I mean, kudos to you, because we can be very, very standoffish. Daryl and I went to hair school together in Regina,
I know.
That's how freaky that is, how that happens. So.
Well, and that's, you know, to speak to that, Michael, I would say I'm so aware that I got into the inner circle. And I'm so grateful. I don't know how that happened, but I got into the inner circle, and I know it was a little bit, it wasn't a little bit. It was a risk for him to allow that relationship to change, and he really did, and now we're just the best of friends, and I don't know what I'd do without him. He's just great.
Yeah, because if the friendship goes sour, boy, you're screwed. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where, like, oh, well, I guess we're done with that one. But
That's right.
I'm going to go ahead and actually read a little bit. The reason why the lovely Angela is not reading tonight is because her power is out and she can't get her computer up.
I know.
I
paid my bill.
Sorry.
I really did pay my bill.
No, But I'm just sad because I hope I do this justice to you, because I know I read it, but I know it coming out of your mouth would sound
I'm
better.
I'm sure you
so
do a fabulous job, and thank
I'm
you
I'm certainly
going to
try. This is from Sunday, March 17th, 2013. It's called Sunday Soak, the Helen Keller. Major shifts of foot. Sorry?
I said, oh, yes, the Helen Keller. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is one of my favorites, yes. Major shifts afoot. Single parenting has its major drawbacks, but the one thing has done when I can actually crawl out of bed is to allow me what I call regrouping time. No, this doesn't mean power dating or standing in Home Depot pretending not to know what duct tape is. And no, ladies, it isn't break time, a term I hate nearly as much as baby bump. I'm not Samantha Jones. This isn't Sex in the City. And I don't have a bevy of men hanging out in the tub with me, although a girl can dream. It's actually that, like that week before Christmas when you are screaming through time and Mach 10, certain that you've forgotten something and convinced that you'll devastate one of your kids in some major way. It's when I cook relentlessly for a week so I can be ready for the following week. And if I miss just one thing, the whole plan unravels in ways I cannot relink in real time. It's when I release my inner, demonic, non-medicated Martha Stewart so that I can approximate, insert your choice, a fabulous mother from any film, book, show, here. I'm aiming for Audrey, being Audrey Hepburn. Despite my best aim, I'm also way off the mark. This week, I withdrew Gigi from regular school to online for a number of reasons, but this basically means she is with me 24/7. This is a major shift. I no longer have my closeted, non-medicated Martha Stewart Warpath time. She's outing me. She's nearly 14. That's all the backstory you need. As a result, we look like this. And the picture of Helen Keller in The Miracle Worker. People, I need to reel it in and refocus. I am definitely not the Miracle Worker. We are just short of flinging food at each other. I think the only thing I can add to my bath to make myself feel better might be copious amounts of alcohol, which leads me to wonder what kind of white wine goes well with lavender bath bomb. And that is Pinot Grigio, honey. That's because the floral makes the compliments perfectly. But I think it's just a lovely. You can see the depth of soul in it, and you have to have the sense of humor, because not you're going to jump off, you know, a bridge with an elastic band. So.
Well, you know what? It's true. A fellow writer of mine actually cornered me at a party once and said, "How come you tell the truth? I don't think I could say the things that you say." And I don't know. I mean, I think that it's worth taking the plunge. I love to read writing that's honest and that's humorous and that's searching. That's just what I love to read and I gravitate toward. And I certainly gravitate toward that in my own writing. I'm not sure that my daughter's going to be thrilled with reading that when she's 18 or older. I certainly hope so. But that's the short story there. That's the little window into what's going on with us in our little house, and it's not a mommy blog for everybody, for sure. I invented Tub Talks because actually I was in the tub at the time, and I thought, wow, I do pretty much everything in here. I read, I think, I emote, I plan, I scheme, I relax. I have a little cocktail occasionally, and sometimes just nothing. I leave the window open, and I just listen. And I thought, well, this is the perfect platform for another blog that is, you know, every day, that's every girl or every boy, really. I know a lot of people like to be in their bath and think. And certainly this brings us full circle back to Daryl, because he and I have these marathon text sessions where he's in his tub and I'm in mine, and we just kind of have this sixth sense about knowing probably he's in the tub and I'll text him, and, you know, I'm usually right, and we have a lot of fun that way, too. So that's where the idea for the blog came from, was really from that moment where I thought, I pretty much live my life in the tub. So I should write from here.
Well, the thing is, I wouldn't say you live your life. I think you live your own life in the tub. I mean, everybody needs to have that quiet away. I know raising children, I mean, I don't know how you guys do it. I mean, I can appreciate a child. You know, I can look at it and think, oh, it's pretty, and oh, that one's kind of funny and stuff. But I'm not really built for children. I really am not. I have this one friend who I'm not going to name because it'll hurt feelings, but who has a lovely, lovely child. And her name is, I don't know, ABC. And she's 4 years old. She is the most precocious, lippy, sarcastic, and not in a good way, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I look at her and I think, oh, please don't ever leave me alone with her, because it will not be good at all, because she had a temper tantrum here the other day, and I kneeled down and I told her, I said, this does not work on me. You can stomp and holler till you're blue in the face. Congratulations. I'm not your dad. I'm not your mother. I'm not falling for the baloney. But I think it's important not to go ahead and shield your children is my point. So having your child read it at 14 or 18 and stuff like that, she's going to see the humor in it.
I hope so. I mean, my kids are—they're really—they're actually quite wonderful. They're both interested in the blogs that I do and the writing that I do on different magazines and whatever. And that's great fun. And my little guy Cal is quite getting into learning how to blog and seeing what it's about and understanding that it's about creating relationships and having laughs and sometimes making a change. And I've been very shocked to get some emails come back to me privately about a post here or there that I have put up, and I've not realized that it's really affected someone as deeply as it has or made them laugh as much as they did, and that's just so great. Really, really enjoy that part of it.
Fantastic. Now, I read someplace that you're actually looking to move to Montreal.
That was an April Fool's joke. Did you follow?
Oh, you got me.
I got you.
April
no,
Fool.
I wanted to see how many people would bite on that, and quite a few did, so you're not the only one.
Well, maybe you're accidentally projecting. You know what I mean?
You know what? I do have a seriously bad case of wanderlust, and you know, in my mind, I'm hoping that this blog eventually will take off to the point where I'm doing more reviews and I'm testing tubs here or there worldwide. And I would love to be doing what you're sort of doing, interviewing and things like that with people who I really admire. But I'd love to do it from tub to tub and have the same kind of talks that me and Daryl and me and other friends, you know, technically have. But, you know, in our own separate tubs, so you never know.
Absolutely. You know it. I want to go ahead and just touch on one thing here. I don't know how much American television you get here, but get in Canada. There's not one Canadian channel in the United States, so I have no idea what's going on in Canada. That is right. But here it's the DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, is very, very hot in the news right now, basically having the Constitution alter it to actually have same-sex couples be recognized as a legal entity. Now, in Canada, I believe same-sex marriage is federal. Is that correct?
I think you're right.
Yeah. So that would mean basically that a same-sex couple would have the same rights and freedoms as any other Canadian.
I think you are correct. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, what are your
We're a kind and gentle country here. We don't tend to make a lot of fuss over things that seem apparently evident to everyone. So I know that I have to tell you, I'm not plugged into a lot of news. I don't have TV here that I am plugged into a lot. And I do that for my own reasons. I just like to keep myself unplugged, actually, as much as I can in terms of that sort of thing. So, but I have seen some trickling down things about what's going on in the States. And as far as what I believe is going on in Canada, everyone here is quite supportive of same-sex couples. And we are shaking our heads, not understanding quite what's going on.
Yeah, what the big issue is. I can't get it. There was a comparison picture actually up on Facebook the other day comparing the same-sex marriage debate to when they lived in segregation, when blacks and whites could marry and stuff like that, and that was 40 years ago. So I do think it's going to just be inevitable. It just seems silly that we have to waste so much time and effort trying to debate something that seems so clear. That's my two-bit, but... How was your winter in Canada? My sister was reporting a mild winter, and I looked at pictures from Saskatchewan, and I saw 6 feet of snow, and I thought, thank God I don't live there.
Well, we define mild very differently than most. I'm happy to report from Alberta. It was quite a lovely winter, not anything horrific. I mean, and I've had some doozies here that I've really wished I didn't have to experience at the time, but this year, not so bad at all. Very mild, and quite lovely. But I'm looking forward to spring. And actually, as you're talking to me now, it started to snow just a little tiny bit, unfortunately.
Oh, jeez. I'm sorry I didn't mean to send that your way. That's rude of me.
Okay.
Rude, I tell you.
No, it's all right, honey. It just means that I'm going to have another bath later to warm up. That's all.
Well,
okay.
I can get your Pinot ready. Absolutely. Angela, we're running out of time. I want to go ahead. Remind us again where we can go ahead and find Tub Talks.
Well, you can follow me on Twitter, and I would love that because I hover between 60 and 63 people. It's a brand new little account, and I'd be thrilled to see my numbers on Twitter grow. So I'm at Tub Talks on Twitter, and I'm also on Instagram. I'm the Tub Girl on Instagram. You can certainly follow my antics on Instagram as well.
Wow.
That would be wonderful.
Honey, it's been delightful chatting with you. It's nice to finally put a voice to the email messages and stuff.
Yeah.
So huge hug
girl.
And huge love you. Please say hi to Daryl for me.
I will, honey. Thank you so much. I've really enjoyed talking with you. Take care.
Thank you so much. Talk to you soon. I'll see you on Facebook.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye. That was a lovely Angela Dillon with Tub Talks. The blog is really funny, and it's delightful, actually, quite frankly. Plus, you know, she's hammered in the tub thinking about this kind of stuff, so that's also a little bit of a fun thought. However, I do see our next guest, Michael Tay, the Aussie bombshell that I was explaining to you earlier, is in queue. So we're going to go to a little bit of more music from Hal Stevens. Hal Stevens up in chat, so feel free to go ahead and ask him any questions you have there. This is Hal Stevens with So In Love, back with Michael Tay on An Almost Victoria when we get back. You can find him at halstevensjazz.com. Michael Tay joining us now. Michael, I didn't mean that to come off creepy playing that song because, you know, I'm secretly have a crush on you, so don't think of that as a creepy stalker kind of a thing, but welcome to it all, Victoria, buddy. How are you tonight?
Well, thank you very much for having me. What an intro,
I'm telling you. Where are you calling from tonight?
From sunny Los Angeles, from West Hollywood in Los Angeles, California.
Sunny in 82. How disgusting for you.
Yeah, well, I heard you guys on the East Coast have been having a cold, wet, long winter.
Well, we've been having this kind of crappy, this crappy stormy stuff, which gets on my nerves, because it's not really cold and it's not really snowy. It's that in-between slushy crap that always gets. But anyways, for those who don't know, Michael Tay and I met in New York at the Indie Soap Awards, the fourth annual, while he was actually nominated for, was that Best Actor for Breaking Point?
I think it was Best Supporting Actor.
Supporting, absolutely. Fine nomination. Actually, a really good web series, too. You can go ahead and check it out at breakingpoint.com. But, Michael, you're not just a pretty face. You actually have, you've got an MBA and law degrees and everything. What made you leave the corporate world?
That's not the shortest of questions. But
we got lots of time.
Basically, a number of things happened to me over the course of 4 years. And before I did, I had careers in management consulting, very briefly banking, back to management consulting, and then I helped start an internet company, mostly on the East Coast. And over the course of a few years, a number of things happened. My father died of cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I got diagnosed with melanoma, which is the bad skin cancer.
Oh.
I was at a .com and the .com crash happened. And I also did a self-development course. And all of those things over the course of a few years had me reevaluate what I was doing with my life. And I realized that I was collecting prestigious degrees and having prestigious careers, supposedly, and working 80 to 120 hours a week in an office, hating my life. And I realized I was doing that to try and make my dad happy because I was living my father's dream for me. And so I quit and went traveling. Didn't know what I was going to do and spent some time back in Australia because I'd been living in the U.S. for quite a while. And when I was back in Sydney, all my friends had jobs, so I couldn't really be hanging out with them all day or week. So I ended up taking an acting class just for fun. And I was like, my Lord, that was so much more fun than law school and business school. And then I love New York City, and on a whim, I applied to a full-time theater program in New York and got in and ended up moving back to New York and trained there for 3 years before moving out to Los Angeles to be a professional actor.
Wow. You also did some modeling with Ford. You were signed with Ford for a while.
Yeah. In New York, I used to do a little bit more than I do these days. I barely do any these days. But, it was like I was on a full-time student visa in acting school and theater school, and then I ended up being picked up by Ford. And so I did a little bit of work for Ford in New York and a little bit in L.A., but I think New York was more my town. So tiny bit. I wouldn't really call myself a model.
Definitely, well,
definitely
I
a much
certainly...
better actor.
Well, you're not hard to look at either, but yeah, your acting is really fantastic. You studied with Susan Batson, who was also Nicole Kidman's coach.
Yeah, she's a character, but I really did enjoy doing some classes with her in New York and some of her other people. And in fact, she was, after about 2 years of training in New York, I wasn't sure whether I should pursue acting as a career because I thought, I knew it was a very difficult thing to pursue, and I knew I could walk into a very well-paid corporate job again if I wanted to. But Susan actually was one of the, those three things that kind of gave me the confidence to go ahead and pursue acting. And one of them was Susan. I only did a few classes with her, and I obviously did a good job in class that day because she ended up writing a written recommendation for me for a lead role in a film with Meryl Streep. So she wrote to the casting director and said, I think you should see this guy. I ended up not even getting an audition, but because they're looking for somebody who was fully Asian. But just the fact that she did that, given her clientele base, that was one of the few things which kind of gave me the confidence to say, yeah, I'll give this a go as a career. So I'll be always grateful for her for that.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, definitely, you've been in over 25 films now, and, I mean, you've even played Jesus Christ, Michael. I mean, that's got to be some testament to to your acting chops.
Well, I think it's like being multi-ethnic, I think, it's a blessing and a curse. But certainly early on in my career, I think often it's been a blessing in the sense that, yes, I played Jesus, which makes me Jewish. I've played Mediterranean, like Italian roles. I can't believe it, but I did play Arab once in a short film.
I can see
I've
that.
Played mostly white, Hispanic. I've played Native American 5 times, and I've played Asian a couple of times. So that kind of is a blessing, but then sometimes I think people don't know how to categorize me, or if I'm competing against somebody for a Latino role, they look more Latino. If I'm competing against somebody for an Asian role, they look more Asian. So it kind of works both ways.
Yeah, that's true. Because you were also a Native American, weren't you? Wasn't that in The Lost Colony? Or
yep, that was my first Native American role, and I also have done others since. But that was the first feature film I did as a Native American, and that was quite strange actually because we shot that in the forest of Bulgaria, and here was this multi-ethnic, part Asian, Scottish, English, and one quarter of the mystery, playing a Native American in the forest of Bulgaria. So it was quite a mix-up of cultures, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, from Jesus to a Native American and then to a rock star and groupie. How was working with Eric Roberts?
Oh, sorry, you just cut out on this. Say again. Oh.
No problem. Just want to talk a little bit about Groupie with Eric Roberts.
Oh,
you played
Eric
a rock star in that one.
Oh, yeah. That was really a lot of fun. I was a little disappointed that my role kind of got cut because we ran out of time. Like, my biggest scene, we didn't even get to shoot. So my role ended up being relatively minor. But he was a character. I think there's not a better word to describe him. He's a real character on set. Very, very professional, very fun, and we had a lot of fun shooting that. It was really fun playing a rock star. And actually, the lead guy in that film actually was a rock star before he became an actor, and we actually used a couple of his songs, Howl, and so he also kind of like trained us in stage work and stuff as well. So one of the cool things about being an actor is that, you know, in one film you learn martial arts, another film you learn how to be a rock star, another film you learn how to be crucified.
Very, very diverse, I'm telling you, very, very talented. Breaking Point, I know you shot this a while ago, but let's give us the premise of Breaking Point, the web series.
Well, it's I guess in a way it's a classic soap. It follows a series of couples through their trials and tribulations with a lot of drama and melodrama. My situation was that my character is a record company executive who is apparently very in love with his wife, His wife, not to my knowledge, has strayed and is pregnant when I know I'm not capable of bearing children. So that gives you an idea of the melodrama which is building in the series. And it also turns out that that I'm a nasty piece of work when it comes to business, and I'm very happy to dispose of enemies and people who cross me in a pretty violent way. So that was definitely fun to play, and I thought that the people involved were really talented and fun. Even though soap's not really my cup of tea, it was a real joy to work with everybody involved.
Yeah,
and it garnered quite a lot of lots of nominations and awards for the cast and the writing and the directing. So
it's being looked at. So I mean, you can't really raise your nose at that. But you actually, it's so funny, Michael, getting to meet you at the pre-party and then at the awards and stuff, I would never actually picture you to be that big of a badass. But in your film coming up, actually it's going to be at the world premiere at WorldFest in Houston, April 17th, the film The Daughter, you're a mean person in that one.
it's a terrible thing to say, but I find it quite easy to play very mean people. but it's kind of you to say that that I'm not like that in real life, because I'm not like that in real life.
Yeah.
But I think also because I often have a goatee, I just get typecast as the bad guy, and so I play the bad guy a lot. And actually, playing that guy in The Daughter, I think I might have actually turned into a bit of a bad guy on set. Nothing too bad, but we were doing night shoots up in Lake Tahoe and long hours, but it was really, really, really fun. And everybody involved in that film was actually one of the lower budget features that I've shot, but I actually think it's one of the things I'm most proud of. And not only for myself, normally I'm very critical when I view my work, but also of everyone else involved, both in front of the camera and behind the camera. I actually think that the team who put it together did an amazing job given the budget, and have a lot to be congratulated for. And I know a bunch of them are heading out. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say the production values are fantastic for a low-budget feature. I mean, it really is an excellent film.
Yeah, and I think I think to get it done on that budget, it's kind of took them a long time in post, pulling a lot of favors to pull it all together. But I don't know. It's premiering at WorldFest in Houston, and then it's been submitted to a bunch of other festivals. We'll see how it goes in that way. It's got a sales agent, which I believe is called Fabrication Films, and they've already sold the film in Japan. So it's going to get an audience, which is great to hear, because they really deserve it.
Absolutely. I've got a clip actually right here. This is Michael Tay in The Daughter. Hold on.
You know what's great about rich people? They only hang out with other rich people. And their kids only hang out with other rich kids. That's over $12 million in combined family income. Surely they can spare a few dimes for us little people, save Eliza their children.
You would think so. You would think so, unless, sometimes you can sell the children. You can get more money from them from a different market. But, I wish you huge success with The Daughter. Once again, that comes out, the world premiere of The Daughter, it comes out at WorldFest in Houston on April 17th. Let's talk about White Wall now. White Wall is another movie coming out. Is it already out or is it coming out?
That was one I did quite a long time ago.
Oh, really?
It's shot beautifully. The cinematography is awesome, and the story was awesome. It got distribution. It went to festival, got distribution about 3 or 4 years ago, and it was it's kind of like a post-apocalyptic martial arts Western thing. It's really hard to categorize, but it was a first-time director, and he was also acting in the lead role, so he had a lot on his plate. But they had a lot to be proud of as well. And yeah, that one I trained for 3 months. We four big fight sequences, doing a lot of kung fu and knife Filipino knife fighting. And then, unfortunately, not all the fighting made it in because the director overestimated how much fighting you could shoot in a day. So I ended up doing about 1.5 of the 4 fights that we trained for. But it was, yeah, an action post-apocalyptic martial arts feature, which was, yeah, one of the early features I did, I think. Maybe it was 5 years ago. Yeah, but it was good fun.
Cool beans. Let's listen to a clip of White Wall. This is Michael Tay.
They lied to us. We've been quarantined. And they've left us here in the desert to rot.
No, you're wrong.
Who can you trust, Sean? I'm your brother.
He intends to trust you? Vitor?
They betrayed me. I'm leaving the quarantine. You're either with me or you're against me.
Ooh, again. Yeah, no, and you know what? Your accent is can drop it so quickly. I was so shocked seeing the teasers at the Indie Soap Awards when you were, you know, speaking in an American dialect, and I thought, oh shit, I just assumed that I would be hearing, you know, the Aussie Michael.
Well, it's my job to speak like an American, unfortunately, because I don't have blonde hair and blue eyes. I never get cast as an Australian, so it's very rare I actually get to use my own accent. So it's pretty important that I'm able to speak like one of you guys, or I'd be largely unemployable.
Absolutely, buddy. We're running out of time, Michael. What do you have coming up in the hopper? Any new projects that you're working on?
There's a couple of other little features which I think have been wrapped, which are coming out soon. Which are probably going to market. I have small roles in, like a film called Gemini Rising and a film called Syrup. But we're just coming out of pilot season. I think it's winding down here in Los Angeles, and that's the TV pilot season. And so we're coming into a little quiet period here. And so probably for the next few months, I'll have some time to hopefully do a little bit of travel, but also put some time into producing. The smart actor starts producing and casts themselves, and so I have one feature idea I'd like to develop and maybe collaborate with a writer on, and I'm trying to raise $25 million with another project. And raising $25 million is quite a bit of work.
Yeah, that's not a Kickstarter organization, I tell you. $25K.
No, but it's literally the most commercially attractive I've ever read, and it's just screaming to be a big budget film, and I don't know how much value I'm going to add, but I'm going to try my best to add as much as I can to it.
Fantastic. You can follow Michael Tay at facebook.com/ Michael Tay Actor, and you can also go ahead and check him out at michaeltay.com. Michael, it's been a delight talking with you. Always a thrill. Please do consider At Home with Victoria your home too, so come back anytime you got stuff in the hopper you want to shout out for. But it was truly a blessing to meet you in New York, and much congratulations. I see big things for you in the future, buddy.
Well, I really appreciate your interest and for taking the time to chat with me today. You're very, very kind, and I look forward to staying in touch, mate.
You got it, buddy. Talk to you soon. Have a great night.
All right. You too. Thanks.
Take
care. Bye.
That was a lovely Michael Tay. I do have a little bit of crush on him, I have to go ahead and admit. But anyways, once again, talented actor and all-around great guy. However, Hal Stevens is now here up in the queue. So let's go back to a little bit of music. This is Hal Stevens, Even in Paris. When we get back, Hal Stevens on At Home with Victoria. Don't go away.
City with the wandering eye wouldn't
glance. Even in Paris, I didn't get to dance. Well, I guess it was some grandiose illusion that I possess a certain savoir-faire. Maurice and Edith made it sound so easy, but this tourist, he didn't have a prayer. Where do I go to find love when there is none for me? Even in and was some grandiose delusion that I possess a certain savoir-faire. Maurice and Edith made it sound so easy, but this tourist didn't have a prayer. Where do I go to find love when there is none for me? They didn't glance, I didn't dance, even in old Paris.
Stunning tunage. Hal, you wrote that one yourself. Welcome to At Home with Victoria, buddy.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
Absolutely. It's finally we get to meet. We've been trying a few times, and things just haven't been working out for us. So I want to thank you for lending your lovely, I call them menthol cool stylings. But out of out of Tennessee, jazz, is there a big jazz market down there?
There is a kind of a corner for jazz. You know, there's a place they call that. The Nashville Jazz Workshop, and kind of made a name for itself in the last 15 to 20 years, and I did a lot of training there, and there's some brilliant musicians here. A lot of them, you know, a lot of jazz musicians end up doing session, you know, doing country work and doing jazz when they get the chance. But the workshop has been an amazing training vehicle for a lot of, you know, musicians and singers and whatnot.
Right. The music we're listening to tonight is from which album now? This is from
this
your
is
first
my
album?
Album. Yes,
right.
Blue Room.
And what's the title of the debut album, Bud?
Blue Room.
Blue Room. You can find that at Amazon.com. And actually, it's on iTunes, isn't it, too?
Correct. Yes, it is.
There we go. So what's happening in your life, buddy? How long have you been at this?
Well, I've been singing, you know, pretty much all my life, but then have always enjoyed this type of music. Moved here in 88 from North Carolina to pretty much write. Wrote, you know, country for a while unsuccessfully, and just started to sing this kind of music when I took some classes at the workshop, was encouraged to do that. And have, you know, this has kind of been a labor of love for me to do an album for a long time. So I started looking into that and what it would take to do an album, and it came out late last year. So, you know, that's been kind of a, like I said, a labor of love for me, and kind of just getting started here in my middle-aged life.
Absolutely. Your father was a jazz guitarist as well.
Correct, he was. He was a English teacher by day and a jazz guitarist on the weekends.
Wow. Strong influences, you states Sinatra, Bennett, Peggy Lee, Miles Davis, Bill Evans, Ella Fitzgerald, Mel Torme. Is there anyone now in the current music market that you're finding worthwhile in the jazz genre?
Well, you know, I am a really traditionalist. I am just so really old-fashioned. You know, I feel sometimes like I was born about 50 years too late, you know. I really like the old guys. And I don't have anybody I dislike or anything, but, I Tony Bennett's still living, so he's my guy. You know, Harry Connick's a great, great piano player and singer, but I find myself, going back to listening to the most of the people who are no longer with us.
No, absolutely. No, now they're listening to you. I mean, I find new music right now so very, very different. I've talked with a number of guests about this. People that I just don't understand are getting into this industry for their fast dollar, and the ones that are tried and true and have been producing quality music that may have not hit mainstream yet. It frustrates me. Nicki Minaj frustrates me for some reason. Just the absolute look at her, and I've heard her music now, and I just don't get it, Hal. How she gets to not pay her dues.
Well, you know, it's really changed. I was talking to someone about this the other day. You know, even the, you know, I like a lot of pop music, but most of it's from, when I was a teenager, my early 20s, and there's not a lot of quality pop, songs these days that are really crafted,
right.
your Stevie Wonder, your McCartney, your Billy Joel, your Elton John. You can't really write songs like that anymore and get them published, because it's all about style now, as opposed to who can really sing and who can write a great song or who can really play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let's get back to some really good music. This is Hal Stevens with Wonder Why. You're listening to At Home with Victoria. Hal Stevens coming back with us. Don't go away.
Wonder why the moon wouldn't listen to us, why it only flew us past a couple stars. Wonder why the wind swept us up from underneath a willow. Wonder why we heard guitars in the rustling leaves around us. Wasn't it romantic when two lovebirds landed on our blanket? We thought it was a sign. I guess it was the wine. Wonder why your lips tasted like forever, why we swore to never kiss another pair. Wonder why the sun will come out tomorrow, why it let us borrow so much time, and where do we go to find the meaning of our little love affair? Someone would choose to be loved and loved. than to never love at all.
Al Stevens with Wonder Why from his debut Room, available on iTunes and Amazon.com. Hal, I'm hearing a lot of Harry Connick in there, too. Maybe I'm just picturing it because the genre is the same, but the phrasing seems, I mean, definitely you have your own title to it, but I'm kind of getting that edge to it.
I have been compared to him, you know, in the past. I'm not even a huge Harry Connick fan. I do respect him and appreciate him, but I guess that's just, I don't know, by accident or, you know, whatever I am. But I guess I have been, like I said, been compared to.
Yeah, no, there's worse people to be compared about.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Absolutely. Are you out touring now in any place other than Tennessee?
I'm not right now. Things are kind of just getting started for me. I have a company, you know, that's helping me market my CD and trying to get my feet on the ground right now, you know, and just getting some things going locally. Hoping to start moving out, you know, and doing some things nationally.
Yeah. We're almost out of time. Hal, where can people go ahead and find you? I know you got a Facebook page, but where else are you?
Well, my website is halstevensjazz.com. You can go to CD Baby and find out a little bit about my CD and my music. And on Facebook, I'm Hal Stevens Jazz Vocalist. You can friend me there.
Fantastic.
And I'm on Twitter. So
you're everywhere. You're linked up.
Buddy,
it has been a delight meeting you. I'm glad we finally got the chance to sit down and have a little chit-chat and stuff. I see great things for you coming in the future. I adore your tunage. So, again, please understand that At Home with Victoria is your home, too. Come back when you got stuff you need playing, because we're going to play you in our rotation. And I'll email you when you're on the show and stuff. But just an absolute pleasure that you're making quality music, buddy, on behalf of all those who actually care about quality. Thank you.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, and I look forward to listening to your station some more.
You got it, buddy. Have a great night. Take care.
You do the same. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That was Hal Stevens. All the music you heard tonight was from Hal Stevens. I want to thank all of our guests tonight, Angela Dillon, Michael Tay, and, of course, Hal Stevens. All of the addresses are up in chat. I want to thank everybody up in chat, all of our brand-new guests listening, not one that I recognize, so that's a good thing. Hal Stevens is still up in chat, so if you have any questions for him, shoot him a line. But other than that, I had a great time tonight. It's always good meeting new people, and God bless. You're listening to At Home with Victoria. I'm Michael Kay, and this is Web Wednesdays. So we're going to end with Hal Stevens' title track, The Blue Room. Take care, and hey, Vic, I hope you're feeling better. Take care. Bye-bye now.
We'll have a blue room, a new room for two rooms, where every day's a holiday because you're married to me. Not like a ballroom, a small room, a hall room, where I can smoke my pipe away with your wee head upon my knee. We will thrive on, keep alive on just nothing but kisses with Mr. and Mrs. on little blue chairs. You'll sew your trousseau and Robinson and Crusoe. It's not so far from worldly cares as our blue room far away upstairs. and misses on little blue chairs. You saw your trousseau and Robinson Crusoe, not so far from worldly cares. Not so far from worldly cares as our blue room far away upstairs.
You've been listening to At Home with Victoria, an interactive news and entertainment show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Download us on iTunes as a free podcast and like us on Facebook. I'm Shelley Rand, musician and announcer for At Home with Victoria. Download my CD on iTunes and Amazon and friend me on Facebook.